Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schumann. How are we doing today?
Secure in Jesus in the midst of the coronavirus storm.
Amen, amen. Also with us, as always, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How you doing today, bro?
Can't beat that one. Continuously blessed. I can't even talk now.
That's all right. If you guys are listening to this, great, bro. Just so you know, we did already do this episode, and then now we are redoing it because Tony's computer crashed. But nonetheless, we wanted to go a little bit faster through these points anyway, so the Lord worked it out. And what we want to talk to you guys about today is, what is the truth regarding the coronavirus? Some of the things that are out there seem so outlandish on one side or the other, in all honesty, because we don't want a pendulum swing. We want to go, what does the Bible say? And this show, this episode, this show, everything we do, we want to make sure that we bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And when we look at anything, it doesn't matter if it's a pandemic, an epidemic, what sports team you like, we want to look at it through the lenses of Scripture, ultimately. And that's what we're going to do. And when it comes to this show and what we're going to be talking about, we want to talk about how horrible the coronavirus is. But what we don't want to do is take it from a level that one end of the spectrum says, oh, this thing, don't even worry about it. It's phony. It's like a cold. It's no big deal. This is all, you know, just lies from the media trying to control us. And then switch it over to the other side and say, well, that's crazy. Let's go over to the other side. And, oh, you know what? This is the fourth seal being broken open and death is riding on a horse. And this is the apocalypse, you know? Yeah. And so we don't want to do either of those. So, Joe, maybe before we dig into some of the falsity, let's just get right into the truth of maybe the pathology and what exactly is COVID-19?
Yeah, and of course, none of us are doctors here, but, it's sad because a lot of times, you've heard report after report after report after report ad nauseum, and a lot of times they don't really tell you exactly how this virus works. And I'm always intrigued by, okay, what's actually going on here? And it's a very insidious virus. And first of all, let's keep in mind that God doesn't intend, he didn't intend, wasn't God's heart like, oh, I want, you know, everybody to get COVID-19. And no, we rebelled against God. The human race rebelled against God. We have the fall of man, rebelling against God, you know, sin, the fall, death, and disease entered into the world. And the Bible says that the last enemy that will be destroyed is death, you know? And then we'll have the resurrection, and then we'll be in the new heaven, the new earth, those of us who are Christians in New Jerusalem, Jerusalem forever and ever, you know? So right now, we have satanic deception. We have dark spirits from the dark lord, the, you know, satanic powers. We have death reigning and so forth. And we have people that are rebelling to God. And it's interesting because the pathology of viruses is far different, as you guys I'm sure know, than bacterias, you know? There's things you can take, antibiotics, you know? I'll take sometimes Manuka honey if I feel a cold coming on, and I know it's bacterial. You'll know it's bacterial if you've got some green phlegm going instead of yellow, right? Not to get too gross, hope no one's eating right now. But if you got the yellow phlegm, that means, you know, you got a virus. And bacterias replicate themselves. They replicate. They self-replicate. But viruses can't do that, so they're dependent on cells. And they actually use a spike protein to unlock the cells. That's what COVID-19 does. And it gets itself in the cell. And it's really a cell parasite. And as it gets into the receptor, it reproduces in the cells and it hijacks more and more cells. And then it makes viral proteins to basically reproduce itself. And that's all horrible. But what it's doing is it's causing the destruction of your cells. And the immune system wants to attack this thing. So the immune system is destroying your cells and so forth. Then there's this all-out war, but what happens is it can overwhelm you, especially if, you know, you have some of the underlying conditions they've been talking about. You know, you want to be especially careful, you know, if you have diabetes or even if you're pre-diabetic and so forth. This should encourage us all, including myself, to, you know, eat better and do better, you know, exercise, things of that nature. But it's interesting because this is just the first phase, because after you're put on your back with this disease, if that happens, then it gets more serious, because then that's where a secondary infection takes place. And then your body gives way to a bacterial infection. Now it's not just the virus. Now the germs, and we all have germs in our nose, our throat, our mouths. You know, I always tell my kids, you know, I said, hey, you know, you don't always get sick from just touching someone. You can have many of the germs that everybody else has that's coming down with a particular cold, for instance. And your body's holding that bay. But you start eating too much junk food, you start eating too many sweets, then all of a sudden your body gets weaker and you succumb to the same cold that's been there, but your body's been holding it at bay. Well, guess what? What happens at this point, those germs that are in your nose, mouth, or throat, and your body succumbs to COVID-19 to the degree where you're basically allows at a certain point those germs to enter into your bronchial area. And when that happens, then your body's fighting not only a virus, but it's fighting a bacterial infection. And these germs are now replicating, and a lot of the antibiotics can't handle these germs. They can't destroy a lot of these germs, depending on what is specifically that you have. So now you're dealing with lung issues, because what happens is your stem cells, this is so insidious because of COVID-19, and then the secondary infection, your stem cells will be starting to be destroyed at a certain point if you succumb to this thing. And you need your stem cells to rebuild your lung tissue that's being destroyed by, you know, these diseases. And what's happening, your stem cells aren't working, and your immune system is just hard at work. And then what happens is your alveoli, these alveolas, the spaces in your lungs that you need to breathe, you need them to be open. What happens is mucus gets built up because this whole battle that's going on, and it fills those alveola spaces, and then you can't breathe, and you basically start suffocating. I mean, your body basically, you know, your kidneys, you know, your liver, your heart, your organs begin to suffocate, and then you die. And what happens a lot of times, people that have this disease, they seem fine, and then all of a sudden, boom, they hit a certain point where it's like, boom, they've just, now they're in a horrible situation, which half hour earlier, you thought, you know, they might have been standing up, and now before you know it, they're on their back. And so this is something, you know, not to scare everybody, but this is hideous. And I think we need to know what we're fighting here, how serious it is, because it's beyond the average flu. It's more serious than a lot of flus that are out there. It spreads more quickly, more easily than many flus, and I'm not saying all flus, but many of them, and a high rate of older people die that catch it, you know. And I have a nephew who is a fireman who has it, and talked to him, and it just kicked his rear end, you know. He said, man, it's worse than any flu I've ever had, you know. On the other hand, his wife, Nicolette, has it, and it wasn't as powerful to her. She's, you know, they're both pretty healthy, too. One of my secretaries, my wife's my secretary, and then we also have Mary. And Mary also has it as well, because Chris is her son-in-law and Nicolette's her daughter, right? And Greg, her husband. And these are two really, really tough people. You know, they're just awesome. They love
all
the Lord.
All four of them, actually.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The kids too, right? And, yeah. As well, amen. And Chris and Nicolette as well. And it's just amazing, because they said it's like the worst thing they faced physically. You know, I mean, it's like they're just, you feel like dying.
Yeah.
And so some people are like, oh, it's no big deal. No, it is a big deal. You know, people are dying of this thing, man. And we need to be wise, and mass people die. We've seen what happened in Italy when you don't use any kind of protocols, when you don't take care to have any kind of social distancing, anything like that. So it's very important that we recognize how serious this is. We recognize that we pray about it, that we seek the Lord, and that we pray and say, Lord, use me through this, not only to care for people that may be sick and hurting, but also to shine the light of Jesus.
Yeah, you know, Eli, my son, was sad because his best friend is Liam, and he wanted to see him. He hasn't seen him in a little while, and he was trying to understand the whole coronavirus thing. We want to take it much more seriously. Like I guess I didn't mention it in this episode, but one of my wrestlers, their mom's is a nurse here at the Kaiser, the local Kaiser. And she said she watched a 39-year-old man die in ICU, and it was just really troubling to her. So we want to make sure that we're recognizing these things that were taking them very, very as serious as we should. And one guy who certainly did not, and I would like you to speak. I know we're trying to go a little faster this time around, but it's important to speak to this from a pastoral position, because as a church, not just you, but with the elders as well, decided that after that first Sunday that we were going to meet digitally, after that, there would still be some, you know, forms of congregation, so to speak. We had, you know, about 7 or 8 people here on a Sunday to help put it all together. I know at my house, we use about 8 or 9 people on Wednesday and Sunday, trying to keep to those, hey, 10 or less, you know, together congregating, not forsaking that, and not forsaking you guys online. Some of the greatest encouragement, I think, the last Sunday's message, with over 500 comments, you know, regarding the message, where people encouragement, asking for prayers. Those things are huge.
That's awesome.
And it's really important. And it's a lot safer than what Rodney Howard Brown was doing. And for you guys who don't know Rodney Howard Brown, he is a false teacher. You know, when we were putting together the title for the episode, we felt guilty saying pastor, and that's why we didn't put it in the title, because he doesn't meet the requirements of Titus 1:5-9
yeah,
or 1 Timothy 3. He's
one of the leaders in the Laughing Revival movement that just brought such disrepute upon the body of Christ. And he's also a word faith teacher, prosperity gospel teacher,
which would fall in line with what he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, thinking that everything's okay. And I know you were going to mention some of the stuff that he had going on in his congregation, because we're talking about, you know, at Fellowship, we usually have about 200, 300 people here. This guy was having 500 people in disregard for whatever was going on. And he was also encouraging them to do what?
He was having them hug or greet each other, you know?
Yeah.
So you have 500 people. I have a mother that's over 80 years old, right? And if she was in that congregation and she was being told to just go around and hug everybody and so forth, or just, I mean, and this was after the ban, you know, this is after they're saying, hey, you know, they didn't forbid us. It wasn't targeted at Christians. If it was targeted at Christians, they said, everybody else can meet, but you Christians. Then I'd say, Sean, guys, man, you're gonna have to put me in jail then. You know, we're gonna keep meeting, you know. But guess what? This was a community type deal nationwide where there's a concern that we don't spread this, because, and I was actually saying, wow, you know, with all the talk with the progressives, so-called progressives, really the degressives, regarding euthanasia and many of them trying to push the idea of not just killing babies, but, you know, the old folks, the health, you know, care system can't hold these guys, make these people alive forever. And some of the talk with, you know, offing old people, I've been really blessed that during this time, people are actually caring about the older folks, you know, about the people in their late 70s and 80s and 90s and so forth. And that's blessed me. So God forbid that, you know, in the name of Jesus, you're getting together with a bunch of older people and subjected to this disease, which is deadly. That's not loving your neighbor as yourself. You know, that's bringing disrepute upon the body of Christ. And then you have all these people, then you have people pointing at the church, pointing at Christians as being the idiots, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, what in the world is going on here? So he was actually encouraging everybody to greet each other and so forth. And we know he's not led of the Spirit. He's into all kinds of false doctrine and so forth. And as you said, Chad, we didn't encourage people not to fellowship. We've been having a lot of fellowship. Like Chad said, over 500 encouragements in the comment section last Sunday. A lot of people are fellowshipping that way online. They're fellowshipping with brothers and sisters. We've encouraged right here in our state, you're not allowed to meet in a group that's larger than 10. That's still on the government website. So we encourage people, 10 or less, get together. And we've had several of our people getting together in small groups, praying together, seeking the Lord, watching the live stream. And all that's really awesome. Now, it's interesting that he was checked, the pastor there, the quote-unquote pastor, Rodney Howard Brown, by the sheriff there in Florida. And the article I read said he was visibly upset that as a sheriff, and he said that Rodney Howard Brown's, quote, reckless disregard for human life put hundreds of people in his congregation at risk and thousands of residents who may interact with them this week in danger. And listen to what this sheriff said as well. I'd remind the good pastor of Mark 12:31, which said, there's no more important commandment than to love thy neighbor as thyself. And he didn't really get that totally right, because Jesus didn't say that's the highest commandment. He said, it's like the highest commandment. He said, the greatest commandment is love your neighbor, or love your God with whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen. So it's interesting. Now, if we're told, hey, you can't preach the gospel, can't share the gospel with anyone. Acts 5, you know, they were whipped, Peter, the Apostle Peter and others. And they turned around and went and preached the gospel. They said, better obey God than men. We're told, hey, you can't take, you have to take the mark of the beast if you're going to buy or sell. We don't follow the authorities on that, because that's contrary to the will of God and the word of God. But when there's wise protocols taken that's not directed at the church, where you can express love to others, Jesus says, there's no greater love than this, than that you lay down your life for your friend. Well, I think that also entails not spreading the, I don't care how strong you think you are, how much immunity you think you have. Hey, you know, you might even think that you're invincible, but you got to think about the older folks, man. You got to think about those folks out there that have diabetes or are pre-diabetic. There's millions of people, if they catch this disease, can fall like flies.
Yeah, you know, and in all honesty, I have to just tell you, I've seen some people, and I know that there are some congregations that are still meeting, some smaller congregations, and they're going by their convictions in a lot of ways, and they're trying to keep as much distance as possible. But I see some people say certain things online, and typically they're of that word of faith ilk that I find to be somewhat repugnant, as if they're acting as if they have this special faith that allows them to sit there and, you know, as if they're holding serpents, do that and act as if this is sharing the gospel and act as if this carefree, well, it can never touch me, it can never harm me attitude. To me, that is just the height of arrogance, and it's nothing of being filled with the Spirit.
I saw a list of a lot of the word faith teachers through the years, you know, who have in their different medical conditions, could be anything from needing glasses to whatever, but lithium, whatever they were, you know, different things that they relied upon. And all, you know, the older ones have already died, and they died not because, you know, God just took them. They weren't raptured. They died of, you know, physical sickness, you know, of one sort or another. So it's really tragic, because we need to point out the enemies of the gospel.
I mean, we need to mark them
and so forth. And it's too bad many of those enemies are in the church.
Amen. And you know what's interesting is that as we try to look through the truth of what is going on, not only out inside the church or inside the quote unquote Christian realm, right, but also outside of it and even outside of our country, like where on earth is this coming from?
Yeah.
And a lot of people, they think that when you say, hey, it came from this place or that place, for some reason, that's turned into a racist slur to say, hey, this originated in China. And when I read reports and see that, oh, look how much better China is doing than us on these numbers. And right away, this was just last week, I believe, like, hey, look, we've already passed China in the amount of cases. And I look at some of the numbers and you see that on March 1st, China had 81,000. And then by now, March 26th, I believe it was at 86,000. And to tell me that they only grew that many amount, you know, that many people tested positive for coronavirus, I already know that's a lie. When they tell me that, oh, this only this many people have died, but then you look and just one mortuary, they said 2,500 people, I think, died in Wuhan. And in one mortuary, one weekend, they ordered 5,000 urns.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just
senators
lies.
Have been burning around the clock, many of them. I mean, there's people being carried out in whole families in body bags and everything else. And now they're shutting all kinds of things down again in China. But they're not reporting more deaths. So why are you doing that? And then there's a concern too I have with regard to China. And we're not talking about the Chinese people. We love the Chinese people.
Amen.
There's millions and millions of Chinese Christians that love Jesus.
And some of the strongest ones out there.
And he died for every one of those. Yeah. In whatever country you're in. So we love people, but we're talking about the Chinese communist government, which is very anti-Christ, hates Christ, hates the gospel. Many, many Christians, pastors, and leaders, thousands and thousands and thousands, have been put to death or tortured or imprisoned and so forth. And we're looking at a power-hungry regime that wants to dominate the entire world and is using this virus as a means. I mean, because of what happened under Trump and the Trump administration regarding the economy had taken off. China got buried, you know, financially. Now they're vying for power again because guess what? Our economy stalled to almost a standstill, and they're putting the propaganda out, and they're basically putting propaganda out. In the past, I mean, one of the spokesmen for the Communist Party there, that's the party there, was stating that, you know, it actually started not in Wuhan, it started in the United States. It was the army, you know, that brought it over, you know. And even one of their own ambassadors, their main ambassador, U.S., said, yeah, that was a bogus claim. But the other guy that was claiming it never stopped claiming it, unless he has just recently. So it's interesting. What's crazy about this whole thing is China dominates the world market on pharmaceuticals, guys. Things that for medicine, for high blood pressure, for cancer, Alzheimer's disease, and all kinds of other sicknesses, 95 to 97% of the pharmaceutical antibiotics that you get are made in China. So could you imagine if China said, hey, we're going to cut off the supply because we've been basically transporting our, you know, our industry, medical industry regarding pharmaceuticals to China through the years. And, you know, this came out of the official Chinese state media, okay? The newspaper for the Communist Party stated, quote, in China, if China retaliates against the United States at this time, in addition to announcing a travel ban on the United States, it will also announce strategic control over medical products and ban exports to the United States. Then the United States will be caught in an ocean of the new coronaviruses. More than 90% of the U.S. imported drugs are related to China. If China announces that its drugs are for domestic use and banned exports, the United States will fall into the hell of the novel coronavirus epidemic. That sounds like a colossal death threat to me, you know? And it's like crazy when you think of it this way, too. Right now, the propaganda that's happening from China is being repeated by a lot of the liberal media here. It's being, you know, trumpeted from the rooftops by the WHO leader, the leader of the World Health Organization, which is a sister organization to, guess who? The United Nations. And it's interesting because that leader is basically a puppet for China. They're the ones that backed him. They're the ones that put him in place with the World Health Organization. And that gentleman from Ethiopia, by the way, Ethiopia has been radically enriched by China. Skyscrapers, railroads, sports stadiums. I mean, they basically took them into the 21st century. And this leader of the World Health Organization is Ethiopian, and he's beholden to China. And he recognizes that. So he keeps talking about how China is leading the way, even though China took about a month or so after suppressing, as they did another, was it swine flu, another disease not too long ago. They were known for suppressing that. They suppressed this thing for about a month as about 5 million people left Wuhan, many of them with the virus, and went to Rome, Italy, went to Europe, went to Germany. Thankfully, Trump had said, hey, nobody's coming here from China. People were still coming from China that had gone to Europe and then from Europe to China, then eventually stopped the European influx and so forth. And he was ridiculed for that by the liberals in the media. How could he do that? How could he say that the Chinese people can't come over? And they're all acting like he's been behind the curve. And I know he made some statements where, hey, this will pass real soon, you know, way too early. So I don't think he handled it perfectly, but he handled it way better than a lot of these guys are handling it. And it's quite interesting because the UN and the World Health Organization, they're about world monopoly, as is China. In fact, the UN, I just saw this today before I came over here, guys, a headline. UN wants a 10% global tax. That's for each and every one of you guys. Want to pay 10% more in taxes, not to your country, but to the United Nations? The UN wants a 10% global tax to pay for the new shared responsibility program to address the coronavirus pandemic. And it's just, you know, it's just amazing when you see the propaganda, the lies. The WHO praised China despite their continued lying, okay? They lied about the seriousness of the global COVID-19 pandemic from the very beginning. Okay, I think that's important. And also, they continued lying. And the WHO also, their leader, he overstated the mortality rate by a long shot of COVID-19, causing incredible despair around the world and to get people lined up to just, you know, follow whatever regime you're under. So I think it's interesting, guys. Do you guys want to give the United, if I want to give 10% more of my money, I'm going to give it to the Lord or his work. Now, it's interesting. I mean, you guys, do you think all the other nations are going to follow that? I mean, remember the problem that we've had with NATO? How many of them were contributing to other nations? That was the whole thing. Nobody else was hardly contributing but our country to NATO. How about the Paris Climate Accord? Oh, everybody's like, I can't believe the United States dropped out of the Paris Climate Accord. Did you know the other nations were given squat, you know, even though they're part of it? So when you look at this, I mean, on the way over here, you know, I was catching the news, get caught up on things, and Governor Newsom was being interviewed. He's the governor of our state, California. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful state. No doubt about it, but terrible politics. And he was asked by the reporter, he goes, do you think this will usher in a, quote, new progressive era, end quote? And if you know what progressive means here in California, it means just full-blown liberalism. The government telling you how to chew gum, how to walk, basically what to do. And you know what? He was so enthusiastic. He goes, oh, we've been meeting for hours and hours and hours, and we're definitely going into this new progressive era now.
So disgusting.
And, absolutely disgusting. And you have George Soros' group. And I'm just trying to hit a lot of things real quick. You have one of the organizations that's funded by him that says, because the corona or COVID-19, this should bring an end to the traditional family. We need to end the traditional family. Sick. The former leader of the Federal Drug Administration, his plan, although he has some good ideas, one of his ideas is to surveil each and every one of us with technology so the government can follow each and every one of us to see where we go so we can know in the future if we're ever going to be spreading diseases. I mean, this is all, you know, we can see New World Order written over all a bunch of these different things. And you know what? Well, we're not saying, hey, this is the mark of the beast, and we're saying, hey, watch out for people. We're saying this is the fourth seal. This is the mark of the beast. What we are saying is you still need to keep your eyes, your head to the ground, here in the tracks, your eyes to the sky, looking for Jesus, watching for the signs, and keeping our eyes on the Lord.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. I'm glad you brought up the it's not the mark of the beast thing, because a lot of people, you know, they like one of the worries we're going to have is that people would take this too far in that regard as well. You hear this, you go, wow, it's really serious. It's attacking people and people are dying and all this stuff's going on. And it's, but wait a second, ultimately, even if whatever, we know that these things are going to take place. And so when we see these things, our eyes should just look up.
Our redemption is drawing closer.
It's drawing closer. And maybe, as we've mentioned, that this is more birth pangs. And while we talked about the seriousness of it, you go read the book of Revelation. Go read what happens. This is not any of that, but you can see the conditioning. And
These are the footmen, if anything, right?
Yeah, no,
not the horsemen yet.
Yeah, they're not the horsemen. We're not in the thickets of the Jordan just yet.
Not in the thickets of the Jordan yet, guys.
And go read the book of Revelation. If you haven't, what a great time to quarantine.
Yeah, you need to be in the Word, man. I mean, how many of you are watching movie after movie or show after show, this after that, but you're not spending any time in the Word of God?
I just binge watch all this, da 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 da.
Well, if you're listening to this show, you're probably in the Word, so that's good. Keep it up.
Amen. Amen. No, but it's one of the things that's on my heart, too, is saying, hey, what are you guys memorizing? What are you guys looking at Scripture? And
amen.
One of the things is he's excited, you know, you mentioned the Soros group there. And, you know, the Hungarian, you know, kind of banking rocketeer, you know.
Soros was a Jew.
He turned in Jews,
became
yeah.
a Judas and actually turned in Jews.
To be murdered.
To work for the Nazis.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. And now he helps fund a lot of liberal, progressive.
And even though he's Jewish, he's anti the state of Israel. Just like he's anti-Christ.
Of course. And we're looking at this, and he wants what? The family? You know, same thing as Satanist Aleister Crowley. What did he? Public enemy number one. That was his poem.
Yeah.
Family, public enemy number one. But right now, guess what? A lot of families are together. And it's a great time to be able to get into the words with your kids. And if you've been too busy in the hustle and bustle, your kids are going to school and you're going to here and you're going to there, and now you're all in one room and you're like, hey, let's turn on Disney Plus. No! Flush it down the toilet. Go pick up your Bible. Go. We were just memorizing Romans 6:23 with our four kids. One of them's only a couple months old, but my little two-year-old's mumbling it about, and it's the cutest thing in the world. And I just encourage you guys, get in the Word, meditate on it day and night, and you'll be like the tree. No matter what, virus is coming in the stream, we're going to be planted by the water, and we'll bear fruit in its season.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.